Hello and welcome back to the Not So Fit Couple podcast with your hosts, Lucy Davis
and Ben Holden.
So today's podcast is 10 things that we learned in 2019 that we wanted to share with you today.
Yeah, so these tips or these key learning points that we took from last year, usually we'd script the podcast a little bit, wouldn't we? But
a bit of direction.
we've kind of bullet pointed this one because we went for a walk this morning, reflected on 2019, and we're like, let's just do the podcast on these points because they're pretty cool. I do apologise in advance as well. I've got a terrible cold. Ever since we got back from Australia, I don't think I've had a day where I haven't been unwell.
Which was about 3 weeks ago now as well. Coming up to a month you've been out.
It's the shit weather.
Which is a bit hefty. But yeah, I'm going to dive.
No, you're not. Just before you dive in, I've got a really important
announcement.
Well, we have now got, what is it? I'm losing a couple of days as well.
5 days
left until the New Year Challenge kicks off. So that means you've got 4 days left to enrol. So our New Year Challenge, for those who haven't seen it or been living under a rock, is going to be an 8-week body transformation challenge where you will have the opportunity to win a holiday to Barcelona and a load of other goodies, which come up to a grand total of £5,000.
Wow, I know.
And along with this, you'll obviously get the guidance from me and Lucy, a personalised nutrition programme, a training programme to follow, and the support of 20,000 other people along with the My Coach School family.
I was just going to say, this is obviously all on our coaching school, the My Coach School, and the link will be below somewhere for you if we can figure out how you can do that. Literally drives it every single
time. If not, but just Google.
Yeah, www.mycoachschool.com, and all the information about how to enrol onto the challenge. Again, you don't have that long, and I'm so excited to get started, so make sure you head over there and have a little look around. But now I'm going to dive in with the first point of what I learned in 2019. So, number one, worrying about something that isn't in your control gets you nowhere. So, what I mean by this is, I've already explained in the podcast previously that I can become quite an anxious person. And anxiety basically is worrying about something that isn't in your control or that hasn't happened yet. So when you put yourself in that mindset and you're thinking maybe, oh, I don't know, I'm going to give you an example. It could be something about hitting a PB in the gym, and you're constantly thinking about this number and you get so anxious and you get so worked up that you just bottle it, or you don't go to the gym and your anxiety is so high. And I used to do this, oh my God, so often.
Do you think that's from worrying about what other people think?
Yeah, that's one of my other points though. But that is one of my other points that I'll speak about a little bit later. Just like not worrying and concerning yourself with what other people think about you, because that is something that will get you nowhere, and it'll probably actually put you a few steps backwards rather than taking you a few steps forwards of what you want to achieve.
Love it.
Thank you.
So we're going to fire back and forth. So I'll do my first one. It's going to be 5 each. So my first one, my takeaway from 2019 is pretty simple. Just being nicer to people is massively underrated. Mm-hmm. Like, especially with more so a lot of stuff or the hate that we get online sometimes. And anyone who has a social media platform has probably experienced at some point. Is that you're going to get people who are going to write shitty comments, nasty comments, horrible comments to you. And I think the way that you choose to react to them plays a massive part on how things will play out. Because I know I've mentioned this before, but if you are nice to someone, say for example someone said to me, Ben, you're a massive arsehole, and I reply back to them like, brilliant mate, I really like your display picture of your dog, he's really cute. What have you got back to come from that? You can't argue with someone who's being nice to you. And it just massively upsets the balance of how an argument is supposed to go. Like, it just like, it makes you seem weird. And I think just being nice to people in general, like if you want to get stuff in life, it's that whole point of, I forgot what the term is now, the reciprocation effect. So if you're nice to people, people are going to be nice back to you. So I just think that for me personally, moving forward in 2020 as well, being nice to people is just underrated.
Yeah, I love that one. That's obviously a really important one. And we also agree with each of those points as well, but we did think of our own 2019 reflections. So my second point is, everything is your own fault. Now this is something that me and Ben kind of started to think about at this very beginning of last year, because we listened to the guy himself, Gary Vee, a lot of the
Gary
time.
Gary Vee.
Who is incredible. He really, really is an inspiration to us in terms of having your own business. And he just describes everything as being your own fault. Now, when you take that whole responsibility, and it's a lot of responsibility, because maybe sometimes in your head, you have an employee that does something wrong, or you work with someone, or some, or your friend has done something wrong, and you try and blame it on them. It's not their fault, it is your fault. Whatever it is, it's your fault that you employed them, it's your fault that you're their friend, it's your fault that you told them to remember something and then they forgot it. It's always your fault.
Or you didn't explain it properly.
When you take that responsibility, you have like a weight lifted off your shoulders, because you don't have to argue with yourself saying, or argue with someone else saying it's their fault, when you're just like, okay, yeah, I understand what I did wrong, let's move on. And that is a massive thing that has helped, I guess, help us get to where we
because
are now.
It stops you from feeling helpless, because if it's your fault, you can do something about it. If it's not your fault, you can't do anything about it.
Also takes away the anxiety on that one.
There you go.
Yeah, love that one.
So, point number four is for me going to be, you don't have to like everything, or i.e. you can't please everyone. I think this is a big one for me last year, or maybe ever since I started the business or being an influencer and that type of thing, is people naturally want to please other people. And I think you can get carried away with navigating what you do or what you say or how your journey goes, or what, more so what you don't say, based on the opinion of other people. And I think that's something that I massively subtly overcame last year with doing things that I wanted to do. Or like even bringing it back to a health and fitness perspective, when you will probably try new things in the gym in 2020, you're not going to like everything. There might be a guy or a girl you follow online who does things a certain way. You try it, you don't like it. You don't have to like it. It's not about pigeonholing yourself into a certain category, or training a certain way, or having a certain mindset. You need to find and develop what fits for you and what you enjoy doing. Because when you do find that, and when you do find your own ethos and what you can stick to, then it makes things a hell of a lot more enjoyable, and it makes things a lot more sustainable long term as well.
That's so true as well, because do you remember, me and Ben are obviously training partners. Sometimes he used to pick an exercise, I honestly, do you know some exercise I used to absolutely hate? And I used to try and force myself to do it. Maybe I couldn't feel the exercise physically where I'm supposed to feel it. And I used to try and like push through just
when I picked the workouts.
Picked one of the workouts. I tried to make myself like an exercise that Ben loved. And I didn't have to like it because he was doing it.
It's like yesterday, you picked the workout, and usually I just tell you like I'm not doing that because I don't like it. Like I'm quite upfront about it. But yesterday I was like, oh yeah, we'll do that. And you're like, that was a win for you.
I was in shock because I actually wrote the push workout, which is chest, shoulders and triceps. Obviously it's Ben's forte, and he loved my workout. Okay, so are we on number five?
We are on number five.
Number five. Now, this is more of a personal one to me, and it's rewarding yourself and positive reinforcement is very, very important. Now, this is something that I didn't do probably until about November, December this year.
Yeah.
I work exceptionally hard on the business, so on the My Coach School.
Shut the plug.
And also with everything else I do, so my work on YouTube, being an influencer, with the brands that I'm with. And it's kind of sometimes you need to take a step back. I only did this when I reflected on 2019, of like how far you actually come as a person. And you need to positively reinforce yourself to make yourself better and like think, I've actually done a really good job. I can reward myself something, whether it's like, I don't know, going somewhere, a spa day, buying yourself something, whatever it is. If you have the ability to do that and give yourself a pat on the back, I think it shows like a lot about a person when they can do that.
I mean, this is one of the main ones that we spoke about when we were on the walk this morning to get a coffee, which will bring me on to a point later. Is that like, especially for you rewarding yourself, because I think you are quite hard on yourself sometimes and you don't give yourself
enough,
a pat on the back enough. And that's what I said, like last year you got, and I don't care if people think it's narcissistic or think it's stuck up, but like you're worth the point where like you reward yourself in a new car, you bought mm-hmm. yourself some nice new clothes and you yeah. you bag. Not that I know a lot about women's bags or fashion, but
did you say bag?
Bag.
What's a bag?
A bag.
Has anyone ever heard of a bag?
I was trying to go with an accent, but because I've got a cold, it's just not coming out very well.
A bag.
Yeah, a bag.
Okay.
And I think that's a massive one for you, and it comes down to the basic psychology of behaviourism. With if you positively reinforce a habit or a behaviour, it's going to stick. Like negative reinforcement doesn't work, and that's why punishment doesn't work. So by having those little wins and rewarding yourself for those things, it's going to make those habits and behaviours a lot more, what are the word I'm looking for, a lot more secure and stable.
Yeah, I think as well, rather than waiting for someone else to positively reinforce you, which is sometimes people need that reassurance, I get that. Like maybe if I do well in a workout, I want Ben to be like, that was really good, just because it is positive reinforcement. But now I've kind of got to a stage where like I give myself my own positive reinforcement. I don't have to rely on someone else's opinion to make me feel better. Yeah. I can do it myself.
I know this is really weird and kind of going off on a tangent, but in terms of like training, health and fitness, this is why some people thought it was weird. Like I used to get quite a lot of clients and still do sometimes, post-workout, either a Pop-Tart or a Mars bar post-workout instead of like a banana or some other kind of carbs. One, yeah, there is physical benefits to spiking insulin and replenishing glycogen quick because it's a fast-acting carbohydrate, but it was more so a reward after doing a good workout as well. So psychologically, you just absolutely smash the shit out of the gym for a solid hour and you're going to come and have a Pop-Tart or a Mars bar, which is going to be the same calories as having like, I don't know what people would usually have after the gym sometimes.
Like a banana, or they do like banana, peanut butter toast.
Yeah, it's like 200 calories, so it makes no difference. So that was just another positive reinforcer, and there's those different ways to do that. Sorry, so steal your thunder.
Sorry to steal your thunder.
This is how you talk quite a lot of time.
I'm just trying to, you know, I've got a bit of a Ben Twang accent going on. No, I'm just trying to bring my Lancashire girl back.
You've come back from Christmas with far more of a Lancashire accent.
That's what we like. That's what we're looking for.
And so point number six is going to be, for me, investing time in learning. It's something for me that I massively took away from the back end of last year. So whatever, for me personally, it was just reading more.
Yeah. You were really, really good at the
but
start
I enjoy,
of the year.
That's what I enjoy podcasts. It just went. Like, I've started 2020 with
probably more podcasts.
And that's why we got back into doing this, because
yeah.
I like audiobooks. I learn through listening. Mm-hmm. So that's why I love the podcast as well. And learn more about, there's always stuff you can learn. Like I'm, as a coach, there's still loads for me to learn.
As
someone who trains with health and fitness, there's still loads for me to learn. So I enjoy just bettering my knowledge, because then I can recycle that content and pass it on to you guys or pass it on to other people who are then going to benefit from it. So I think for me, investing in my own time and learning massively helps my bigger goal in life, which is to help as many people as possible. Because the more I know, the more I can help other people. So investing time in learning is, for me, one of the things that is going to take up more substantial time throughout my year this year.
Yeah, I love that one. Now, number seven, Ben literally said my exact one before as well, but you don't need to please everyone. Now this is, again, I think it's a super personal one to me, because I am very much so a person who wants to please everyone. Not in like a narcissistic way or anything, but I just enjoy to please people, which is a natural human behaviour. You don't like it when people are pissed off at you or angry at you or whatever it is, but I've kind of got over that now. Like, whatever it is, if I'm happy doing what I'm doing, you don't need to please everyone. So I'm going to give you an example that was really like mind-blowing, which was the other day, and it actually happened to quite a few influencers or people who own businesses. Now obviously at the moment in Australia there are the devastating bushfires happening, and a lot of businesses, including ourselves, we donated 100% of our sales on Sunday, which was last Sunday, to Red Cross Australia, who were helping relief and recovery. Now, I think a few other brands and people are doing it as well, which is absolutely amazing. It's just incredible to try and help. But there are a certain few people, and they sent me direct messages. I know it happened to a couple of my friends who have businesses, saying that you're only doing it for yourself to make profit. obviously doesn't add up when you're giving 100% of what you are earning on that day or over a set period of time to a charity, yet people are still saying, you're doing it to grow your business, it's really egotistical, you're not doing it for them. And it's like, okay, that is fine, you can have that opinion. So that's what I mean by saying you physically cannot please everyone, no matter what you do. And that is okay, as long as you're happy, knowing what you're doing is helping other people, it's a kind thing to do, you're genuinely like a nice person, you're not doing anything wrong, and like the main thing, like I said, you're happy within yourself. Seriously, it really doesn't matter.
I didn't even know that, that's
pleasing
mad.
Everyone.
I know anyone said that.
Yeah, I kind of just kept to myself because it was so, that's what I mean, usually I tell you I'm like crying, but this is awful, but I was like, no, like.
Well, I think at the same time, people aren't using it to benefit their businesses, they're using their businesses and their power to benefit the charities. Like, yeah. Obviously, Australia's quite close to our heart because we spent so much time there at the end of last year, so.
Yeah.
And then that brings, this is point number seven, I'm getting lost. Eight. I do apologise, by the way, if you can hear some slurping noises, and I'm sitting here drinking my vitamin C.
He's not very trying well, to dose up. Tell by his voice.
So if this was, leads on quite well to why we went to Australia last year, and that was for me, is taking time out. Like, I think last year, I just ran myself into the ground with work, business, the gym. What else did I run myself into the ground with? It's not much really, is it? No, I'm joking. But I really committed a lot of time to my work, which, because I enjoy it, it's hard to get that balance sometimes between taking time off. But I get there sometimes where I'd sit there up until stupid hours in the middle of the night with my eyeballs red raw, still typing away on the laptop, or still doing stuff, or sending emails, or whatever it may be. And I think for me, it got to a point where I was like, this isn't balance.
Yeah.
Like I said, so why we went to Australia at the end of last year was 50%, yeah, we were getting some work and some new content and some campaigns and stuff done, but the other thing was, just chill the fuck out. Like, I didn't have any time, even weekends sometimes, it wasn't chilled. I think because I know sometimes with social media, you're always on the ball, and I love it, but you don't get time off it. So I think managing your time and managing what is work and what is life or what is spending quality time with people becomes quite diluted. So I think for me, it's massively separating that and taking time out from work.
Yeah, I love that one. It's obviously super important as well for both of us, working on online, on social media. Sometimes it's hard to get away from. Now, my final point is still related to, is actually the business one kind of thing. How important content is. Now, this year, we are massively focusing on producing the best quality content for you. Like, we already know we put a lot of time and effort into our content on the My Coach School, Instagram, YouTube, everything like that. But there is so much more we can do after reflecting on last year. Content is literally king. You might have heard that before. It is the most true statement you will ever come across. Now, what's important for me as well is I'm not just an influencer. I don't just post on Instagram and expect loads of people to be all over it and things like that just for producing good content. I am a coach, I'm an online coach, personal trainer, and I also own a business. So around that, there's so much more that I can give to you that you can take away from it. I think it's important that we focus a lot on the best we can be. I think it's the most important thing that I'm definitely going to focus
on. We had this discussion at the start of the year, that content is king, because if you want to help more people, that's the way you get it across. And especially if you are wanting to help other people this year, or you are running a business which is similar, or you just want to give general health and fitness advice, just be present with good content. Be uploading. And I know at first it is incredibly daunting to speak to the camera or do anything on camera, which is why within the last challenge that we ran for the micro school, we were getting our members to record themselves, take photos of themselves and put it in the group. Because you can get feedback that way. And that's how you get better at doing stuff, by just doing stuff that you feel uncomfortable doing. So I think that's the biggest takeaway for people who are wanting to maybe get into that role or just help people in general.
Yeah, definitely.
Is just to do it. Like,
and
don't
believe
procrastinate.
In yourself.
Indeed.
You are your own person. You can do whatever you set your mind to.
Is this point number 10 now? This is our last one.
Last point.
Wow. I feel like I've ended with a pretty shit one here.
Oh no. Well, you should have ended with my one.
Well, it's, for me, I drank far too much caffeine last year.
bloody hell, that's true for me.
Far too much coffee and caffeine. Not even just coffee, caffeine in general. I made a YouTube video like this when we were away in Australia, because when we were in Australia, wow, the coffee is...
Oh God, I had like 10 a day.
They were just incredible. Incredible.
That's not even an understatement. The Australian coffee is like magical juice. I just, wow.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Australia's fault, but then he has come out to England and it's like coffee.
It's shit, yeah.
Like
so that was a nice detox.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got to a point where with caffeine, I think that's the reason why I was, a lot of time at night, I was up. I couldn't sleep. Yeah. It led to me getting up and eating. I was sweating a lot at night, which sounds a bit minging. But it was because obviously caffeine has a half life of like up to 4 to 6 hours. So if you have a coffee or an energy drink or whatever it may be, late in the afternoon, or three o'clock,
yeah,
like it's gonna last up until like
11, 8, 9 o'clock
or later. Yeah. That's just the half life. It still continues to have caffeine in your system, so you've got to be careful of it. And if you're someone who's a big caffeine drinker or a coffee drinker and don't really think about how many you're having per day, then you just need to dial back in a little bit. I mean, that's why last year I know I was drinking quite a lot of Monster, but I was having decaf coffee. Like, mm-hmm. Every time we go out now, I have decaf coffee because I'm trying to almost like limit myself, because I enjoy having a Monster or Relentless, or more recently, I have those little USN cans because they're a bit smaller and don't contain as much caffeine. Sort of plug. So for me, yeah, not drinking as much caffeine this year, because I think it gets to a point where you lose the balance of being alert and being on top of stuff and then just becoming dependent on it, or it being too much.
Yeah, 100%. I love that one. I didn't realise that was your last point either. Right. So they are our 10 reflection points from 2019 from LD and BH. We really hope you enjoyed this podcast episode. Make sure you leave us a review if you can. We absolutely love hearing your feedback. Post it on Instagram, Facebook, obviously. It's
even if you want to put your, if you screenshot and put it up or whatever, because a lot of people do that in the story, which we massively appreciate. Even if you put your 5 learning points away from 2019 in that post, that'd be really cool. And tag us in them.
Yeah, that'll be amazing. So we will see you. No, we won't see you. I say that every single time. We'll catch you. Hear us on our next episode. Bye, guys.
Bye.